This is my favorite one out of all the Christmas gifts because I just like happy things. And this Sunday is the gift of joy. We're coming in and preaching on the gift of joy. So it's hard for me not to go ahead and jump into it. I've enjoyed hope and I love, and I'm so thankful for them. But the gift of joy, because it is God's desire truly for us to be happy. You need me? Yes, sir. Stephen Yarbrough's brother-in-law. If you don't know Stephen Yarbrough, he's our youth pastor and praise worship leader. He had an aneurysm and he passed Monday, is what Joe just let me know. I don't know if y'all know, but Joe worked for Stephen Yarbrough during the week. And I found out about it today that he passed, 39 years old, left a family and some kids. And, you know, that's one of the things we're going to touch on going that direction tonight. I didn't know it when we were preparing this tonight, but when Joe told me that, I was going to use it as an expression because, you know, this Christmas and the fun side of Christmas and the exciting side, Christmas is one of the happiest and most cheerful times of the year. And, you know, it's this coming month, it may be some of the funnest times some families will ever go through or face. I remember when we first had Alexis, and I've always enjoyed Christmas, and Christmas is always fun. But when I had Alexis, that first Christmas we had her, I'm telling you, that's got to be the greatest Christmas I can remember. Because going in with her first Christmas and she wasn't but a few months old, she couldn't really, she had more fun playing with the wrapping paper than she did what we had wrapped inside because she was just a little bit. To watch her face and the anticipation me and Jen had on the first, Alexis's first Christmas, and then having Haley when we had Haley and getting to have her on the first Christmas. But now, see, Christmas is such a new meaning to me because like going into this year Christmas, we have our own family traditions and, you know, there's so many old traditions and then I'm so glad for the new ones too, but we do Elf on the Shelf. How many guys do Elf on the Shelf? Boy, if you don't, you are missing out on probably the best child good behavior tradition out there. This, if you don't know the Elf on the Shelf tradition, what it is they got a little DVD movie with it and they got this little doll and each family gets their own elf. And you take out in December that elf and when you take him out, you can't touch him. If you touch him, he loses his magic. And if he loses his magic, he can't do what he's supposed to do. But what he does is he watches everything that takes place in your house all day long. And then when you go to sleep, he goes back to the North Pole and reports for Santa how you acted and what you did. And so during the month of December, we got an extra babysitter at my house that we usually don't have during the rest of the year. And so, you know, and every night what happens is the elf on the shelf, when he comes back, he moves. And the girls get up every morning trying to find where he's moved to. And I mean, it's just a lot of, that's a new fun tradition. And like, it's so much fun this year that Haley is hard to get out of the bed. Lexi, you know, normally wakes up and it is, Haley is the one that will sleep in until 10. But this morning, Jennifer walked in there about 6:15, and we're trying to fight Haley's clothes on. Haley was doing her normal fighting, and Jennifer's like, I wonder where the elf moved to this morning. Boom. She was gone. Completely wide awake, ready, looking for that elf on the shelf. I mean, it's just an exciting time. You know, Christmas, and the kids, me and Jen, we've began to plan for, like, the kids, what they're going to get for Christmas, and we can't wait to see their faces on that morning. Christmas is an exciting, joyful time for most. But the truth is, there are those going into Christmas this year that maybe it's not the fun side of Christmas that, you know what I'm saying, your dreams are or your hopes are. As a matter of fact, there's more depression and more suicides during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. Just because this Christmas is a happy Christmas for us doesn't mean we've not had hard Christmases, but it also doesn't mean there's not a lot of people going through a hard Christmas right now. Just like Joe, when Joe was telling me that with Stephen Yarbrough's family, 39-year-old man, and him and his wife, big plans for Christmas, and now she's having to walk through this season with had a brain aneurysm and walk into Christmas with two children, with probably presents already under the tree, and going to face a funeral tomorrow, and the family's got to walk Christmas that way. Doesn't seem like a very joyful time. I remember just a couple years ago, when the Sandy Hook shooting took place. You know, right when families had geared toward getting ready. They, you know, when I was listening to him watching the news stories during the Sandy Hook shooting, all those kindergartners killed. They had already bought all the Christmas presents, and that's what one mom was sitting there saying. She was saying, you know, now what do I do with these presents? What do I do? I mean, she just couldn't see how to get over what they were going through right then. Where Sunday, we're going to be talking about the joy of Christmas. But tonight, I want to talk a minute about, well, maybe your Christmas is not so joyful. Or maybe, you know, your Christmas is not what you're hoping it could be or would be. Maybe the finances this year aren't going to be that great for you. Maybe, you know, saying the unemployment is so heavy on you. Or maybe just health issues have changed and turned situations around to where you would normally be walking into a time with your family. Maybe your mom or your dad is facing cancer this season and they wasn't facing it last year. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to get Christmas turned upside down. When you think of Christmas, it's supposed to be of this great joy. And like I say, Sunday morning, we're going to be focusing in on the gift of joy at Christmas. But tonight, let's talk a few minutes on how do you get through a Christmas that maybe is not on the up and up, and maybe your situation is really hanging on by a thread and you're having to believe God how to do it. We're staying on the topic we started on last Wednesday night about the Word of God and God speaking, but we're going to come out of it, out of the Christmas story tonight. Joe's going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And I'm in the New King James, Joe. And we won't be here very long, but I just want to address the issue, because if you're not going through a hard Christmas and you know somebody that is, there's probably family members, maybe your mother or father, your grandparents are facing Christmas without their life partner that's walked through 50 Christmases with them before. So now when they come up on Christmas, it's not the fun time. It's the reminder of the heartbreak that they felt when someone passed, or, you know, like when someone is sick. How do you celebrate when things are sick and things are hard, and maybe chemotherapy treatments are stealing from the joy, or, you know, with the finances, maybe this year financially, you've taken 5 steps back from where you were last year. And, you know, maybe it's heartache from a relationship that's broken. Maybe you were married last Christmas and this Christmas you're facing a divorce. What do you do and how do you get through those kind of things? Because if Christmas is all about joy, what do you do when you can't find it? Does that mean you can't have Christmas? Does that mean that it's not for you? Is there not anything out of it? Or the better yet, how do you walk through it? And here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, starts the story of Joseph. And, you know, we've looked at, over the years, different people in the story. But I want to just point this out to this guy. We're going to look at him for a minute, because it stays on our theme about hearing the voice of God. But his story is a very unique one. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. In other words, it's laying out here going to tell the Christmas story. Now, we've all heard it thousands of times, and, you know, we've all celebrated it, and a lot of times it's easy to get too familiar with it, but I'm seeing it different today, because it says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. In other words, it's like they're figuring, all right, this is how it really happened, is how they're starting here. This is how it really happened. It says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. We're going to keep going for a minute, Joe. I can read off the paper. Oh, there it is. Okay. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, I'm going to read it and we'll hit point. You know how I do. I always go back and do things. But all right, I love the part here because it goes into detail of his character right here. It says he's a just man. Another translation says he's a good man. Another translation says he was he walked uprightly before the Lord. I mean, this was a good guy. It says right, he was a just man. And not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you your wife, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We can stop right there, Joe. We're going to talk about Joseph for a few minutes. Remember what it says? It says, and this is the way the story was. This is the real story. You know, we've all heard the stories and we've watched the stories. But Matthew lays it out a little different here. He says, and I'm going to tell you the real story. And so we're going to look at it for a minute through Joseph's situation. Here we got a young man that had spent his life doing what was right, lived justly, lived right. He had obviously kept himself sexually pure in a time where it probably wasn't any easier then as it is today, because the Bible says that Mary had not known a man. He had fallen in love with this lady, and they had done things right, made plans to do them right, going to go forward at doing it right. And the Bible says he was a just man at it. And so his heart was right. His intentions were right. His actions were right. Everything was right going into Christmas season with big plans of a marriage to the lady of his the love of his life and all this stuff. But all of a sudden, when he was doing everything right, it's like everything wrong that could happen did happen. Bible said there, Joe, if you don't mind, go back to 18. We're going to look at it in his eyes just for a second. It says that this is the way it really was. Now, it's interesting when it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. No, this way it was. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, all right, there's the love story. They fell in love. They come together. They had been betrothed. Joseph had went to the Mary's family and worked out all the situations on what it was going to cost him to be able to marry her like they did in those days, and worked out the whole plans, and the families were in agreement together. They were madly in love. They done went through all the trouble to make the arrangements, and now they had betrothed, so they were set to be married. The Bible actually in one translation says now it was his fiance Mary. In other words, they were engaged at this point. And it says before they came together, that's very important, because you see, before they came together, it says that they were keeping themselves sexually pure. They were keeping themselves just and holy before the Lord. And that was one of the purposes. The Bible says God was able to pick Mary because it says that she was found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And it said this, it says that the Savior was going to come through a virgin. Now, see, if he wouldn't have been an upright guy, if he wouldn't have been trying to do what was right, he could have robbed Mary from being the mother of Jesus, because if he would have just put too much pressure, or put too much, it could have stole that whole thing. But this was not that kind of a guy. This guy, the Bible says, they didn't come together. He obviously protected her and wanted to please the Lord and wanted to protect her. And it says, and she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine the conversation that took place when she had to come to him and say, hey, Joseph, I love you, but there's something I got to tell you. I'm pregnant. Can you imagine the heartache, the feeling of loss, the betrayal and the backstabbing and the rush of emotions that Joseph actually would have went through right then. Done went through everything he could have done and did it right. Had all these plans made. And all of a sudden, she comes and has to tell him that she's pregnant. And we know the Bible says by the next scripture, you can go to the next one, Joe, that he didn't believe her because of the next few actions that he made. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away secretly. In other words, he was a just man, but he also was a human man. And when the devastation and the heartache and the heartbreak of what all his plans and his life had come together had hit him in the very deepest way it could hit him, he started trying to figure out a way to get out of this. Now, this is what I like about Joseph. Joseph was a good man, and he didn't react the way I react in a lot of ways. It says he wanted to put her away secretly. In other words, he didn't want to go blast it out to 100 of his friends how bad she did him, or he didn't want to go, you know what I'm saying, because that's a way a lot of us deal with hurt. We, you know what I'm saying, when we get hurt, we go and hurt back, because hurting people hurt people. And you know Joseph had to be greatly hurt here, because his whole life just changed. His whole life got turned upside down by something that he didn't do. He had kept himself pure. And so, you know, he didn't go out and just tear her up and call her all kind of dirty names, or, you know, trying to ruin her reputation. The Bible says that he was wanting, even though circumstances looked like she had done what was wrong and he had done what was right, he still kept a cool head about himself, and he was going to still try to take care of it. Although it was a natural thought, he was going to try to do it right then. This is a good guy. I mean, when you read the story about this guy, most guys aren't going to react that way, and most women don't react that way. They're going to get back or get even or hurt just back because they've been hurt. But Joseph didn't do that. It says that he tried to quietly put her away. Go to the next verse for me, Joe. And it says, but while he thought about these things, you can underline that because that's going to be one of our very important situations. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. You can underline, don't be afraid, to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of that of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to read a little bit more, Joe, because there's some points we didn't hit. And she will bring forth the son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's go on down some more. So all that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now you got to keep understanding the angel. That's still the angel talking here. All right. There's the angel saying, hey, she's going to have a kid, just like the angel, the prophets have said of the past, and you're going to call his name Jesus, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, and it is translated God with us. Now go on to the next one, if you don't mind, Joe. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, that's very, very strong. This was a good guy. He did everything right. So his Christmas was turned completely upside down. His marriage had turned upside down to the point where he had even come to the point, given up on marriage and decided, you know, this marriage is broken. You know, he was heartbroken. You know, he was devastated. You know, he felt betrayed. You know, he was angry. You know, all of those emotions, because he was human, were racing through. We know he was human because he started thinking human thoughts. I just need to get rid of her. You know what I'm saying? She's messed up. She's made mistakes. And she's lying to me now about all this stuff. And I just need it. And so we know he was human. He was thinking those thoughts. But this is very important. How did he get through that Christmas? How did that Christmas turn around for him? The Bible says the angel showed up to him and told him what the Lord had in store. We started last week talking about, man, it is of utmost importance that you have God speak to you in your life. We talked about the three reasons why it's important. One, because my sheep know my voice. It's proof that you belong and you're a child of God. Number two, we talked about out of Proverbs, it says it keeps you on the right path. It keeps you from going astray. It keeps you from going in the wrong direction. Most people can't stay on the right path because they can't stay on track because they're missing the voice of God. Another one says it brings you down the best paths of life. It says it in Psalms, the best paths of life. He will lead you down. He will guide you with his voice. And so those are three reasons you need it. Now, what do you do when you're in a situation like this and when your world falls apart and you're facing Christmas in this hard time? What you do is this. You've got to have the voice of God to get through it. It's the only way you're going to get through it. I look back in my life and see times where I've been devastated and hurt, and I've responded this way, like Joseph has sometimes, and I've responded the other way in those times. And I'm telling you, responding the way Joseph did, getting God's voice in that situation makes all the difference. Can you imagine, had he not have heard God speak, we would not be speaking of Joseph today, because he would not have been Jesus' stepfather. He would have put Mary away. God would have brought another man into Mary's life, and that would have been the man we celebrate as being the stepfather of Jesus, the one that loved him. I love it. If you read on into Luke, not only here we see him being the stepfather, but as you read in Luke, Joseph was such a good guy. He loved Jesus, even though Jesus was not his true son. He loved him to a point. In the book of Luke, it calls him the son of Joseph. I mean, so this guy was a great guy before, and he was a great dad, and he was all around the right picture. What made this guy so great? And what made him? Because he could walk through tough situations and do the right thing. So how did he walk through tough situations and do the right thing? How are you going to get through a tough Christmas? Or how are you going to tell someone else you know how to get through a tough Christmas? You got to do it like Joseph did it. And the key component for Joseph was this. He was able to hear the voice of God during that tough situation. Now, how do we know he heard the voice of God? What did it take for him to hear the voice of God? The first thing it took, I love it. It says, the first thing, he started having thoughts on how I need to handle this thing. But he did not act on them right off. That's very important because you remember that scripture, it said this. It says, and as he was thinking on these things. Do you remember what it said? It said, as, go back to 20, I think, Joe. It says, as he was thinking. Meaning that there was a space of time that he was smart enough to take and not just act out of the feelings and not act out of the emotions. But it says while he thought about these things, meaning there was a time here that he did what it takes to hear God speak in every single situation in our lives. Every time we act without thinking, you will always regret it. How many guys can contest to that? Now, he had the thinking about it. He was thinking about it. It says, because why? He was thinking about these things. The thing about it is, most of the time, as soon as we get a thought about a certain circumstance or a certain situation, we act as soon as the first thought comes. Now, the thing about it is, when we act on the first thought, most of the time, we miss God. Because everything in this story and everything in this situation, everything in this thing pointed toward Mary's lying. That's totally impossible. And so I've been hurt. I'm in this bad situation. And so I need to get out of this on my own. I need to fix this myself and I need to move her out of here. And I'm going to be a good guy about it. I'm not going to do it in a bad way. I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm not going to put her up on the trial. I'm not going to brand an A on her shirt. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. What I'm going to do is do it secretly, but I'm just going to move on with my life the best way I know how. That's what he was thinking. And that's not wrong to think. It's just wrong to do. Because this is what the Bible says. And obviously Joseph knew this. Obviously Joseph had been through certain circumstances in his life building up to this point, and he had learned this lesson. And the truth is, I'm still learning this lesson, and you're probably still learning this lesson. But looking at this lesson through Joseph's life is this. I'm sure Joseph knew Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Because it is the true secret to getting through a hard circumstance and a hard situation and getting to a place where you can hear God's voice. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that is so easy to say, but so hard to do. You know, when me and Jim were going through this great trial, the Lord gave Roger that scripture to come give to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's hard to do. And a lot of times we don't understand how to even do it. During the last trial we went through, I was like, God, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. But God told me, Cree, you're not trusting me with all your heart. There's certain parts that you think you are in control of, or you think you have a right to deal with, or you think you have a stake in the claim. But see, Joseph, every bit of his heart, I'm telling you, if you've ever been through heartbreak, you know the feeling. If that news would have came to you the same way it came to Joseph, then you know what heartache feels like. There's no way Joseph could not have heard that news that I'm pregnant and it not have broke his heart. But he knew that every broken part of my life that hurts, I have to get to a place where I trust God there. Maybe it's in the area of your finances this Christmas. Maybe it's in the area of relationship. Maybe it's in the area of your health. Maybe it's in the area of your relationships with your children. Maybe it's in the area of, I don't know, but maybe whatever area that's got your Christmas flipped upside down, it's the area that God wants you to completely trust Him in. See, when he took time to think, it says while he was thinking. So what kind of thoughts do you suppose he was having? He was sitting there and he was thinking these thoughts. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Same way me and you have a lot of thoughts too. Is this God? Is this not God? Is this God? Is this not God? God, I think I ought to do this. But see, the thing about it is, if you're willing to take the time and inquire God's direction, he will speak to you in that way. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, here I see Joseph figured out what he needs to do. The Bible says he was going to put her away quietly. He had already figured out what he needed to do. But he didn't act on it yet. I'm telling you, when you're going through so hard circumstances, you're going to have plans, and because that's why God made the human mind. We are problem solvers. And what happens is when you find a problem, your mind constantly starts trying to work to find a solution to it. You know, now, not all the time does your mind tell you to do the right thing. Like, there are people that are broke and they think their mind tells them, I need to go rob a bank. And they act on that and they go rob a bank. And then that money they stole from that bank puts them in prison for the next 25 years. That's not a good problem solving mind. In this situation, here, Joseph's mind was trying to problem solve here. And so it was probably, I need to put her away and I'll go on with my life and I'll get over this. I'll heal. Time will take care of me. But he was willing to take time during the process. It says while he thought these things, because God just needs some time in your situation to speak to you. God just needs time. Now, you got to understand, this was not the first time Joseph heard God speak when the angel appeared. It was about this very situation. When Mary showed up and said, Joseph, I'm pregnant. And it's not from a guy. It's from the Holy Spirit. That was the word of the Lord. Thing about it was, because he was human and because he has emotions and because he has feelings and because he has a mind and all those kind of things, when he heard it from Mary, he couldn't receive it from Mary as being God. So had God already told him the situation before he believed it? Yes. He heard the message from God. He just did not recognize it being from God. Does that make sense to you? Most of the time when we're in these situations, I'm telling you, God has already spoke to you. Thing about it is, because we're in such fear and we're in such pain and we're in such turmoil and we're under so much stress, we don't recognize it's God. And so what has to happen is this. We have to be willing to trust God that he's going to speak to us in a way that we completely understand. Because if we don't, what happens is we'll act on our own impulses, or we'll act on our own understanding, or we'll act out of our own emotions and our own fear. And what happens is when we do, we change our story forever. The Bible says there are three wills of God. It says there's the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. Three wills of God. Now let me ask you this. If Joseph would have acted on what he was thinking about acting on here, because Mary told him what God said, he didn't believe it, or he didn't recognize it as being God, or the pain was so strong in him he didn't hear it was God. So if he would have acted on what he was thinking, what he thought was the right thing to do, because he's not a bad guy. Remember, he's a good guy. We've said that. He's a good guy. And he would have acted on what would have been a good thing to do in these circumstances. He would not have had the perfect will of God for his life. What would have taken place? Would it have been a good life? Would it have been acceptable? Let me explain to you the good, the perfect, the good, and the acceptable will of God for your life. You getting saved, and every time you sin, you ask God to forgive you, but you stay at that level the rest of your life, that is the acceptable will of the Lord for your life. That's the lowest level of the will of God for you. Because that means this. The price that Jesus paid kept you from going to hell, kept you from spending eternity, and kept you from paying the price that Jesus came and paid for you. There are people that do that. They come to know the Lord. They ask God to forgive them for their sins. They get saved. But that's as far as they go in the will of God for their life. They never pursue God's voice. They never pursue God's face. They never pursue God's plan for their life. And they just constantly live on this life of a roller coaster where they do good for a while and then they do real bad and they do real good for a while and they keep repenting and getting back right and repenting. You've seen them, you've known them, and we've all been them for a lot of times in our lives. And that is just the acceptable, because you will not do anything on this earth for God. You will not help anyone else find God on this earth. You will just get by, like they say it, by the skin of your teeth. It is not God's will for an 80-year-old man to get saved on his deathbed 2 minutes before he dies and waste that first 80. That is not the perfect will of God for his life. That's the acceptable. God will accept that. He will accept. It keeps from breaking his heart that and you won't have to go to hell for the rest of your life. So there are some people that just choose, I'm going to live. And that is a hard life to live, though. that is a life full of heartache, hardship, heartbroke, and constantly up and down and up and down, a roller coaster life. And you never find anybody at that point receiving the peace of God in their life. See, the Bible says there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I look at it like this. The acceptable, the good, and the perfect will of God. The righteousness, being forgiven for sin. And when you get saved, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. You are clean because of what Jesus did for us. And that's good. I mean, that's acceptable. And so that's just the first level, though, of Christian walk, or the will of God for your life. It's for you not to go to hell and for you to make it to heaven. That's the acceptable. That's the righteousness. But the thing about it is, if you never get to the peace walk in your life, if you never get to where you're not just living, being forgiven, but you're getting to a place where you have peace. And where does peace come from? Peace comes from the relationship that you build with Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more peace you have in your life. Two Sundays from now, we're going to be teaching on the gift of peace. And the Bible has 760 different scriptures in it that deal with peace. And out of all those kind of pieces, there's only three different kinds of pieces that all those kind of categorize into. It's peace of mind, peace of soul, and peace of relationship. God wants your life to have those three things actively at work, but it doesn't work just being saved and just living on a, ask God to forgive me for my life. Peace comes when you build that relationship. But there's some people, and so they get the acceptable will of God for life, but there are some, though, that move out of that, and they begin to build this relationship with Jesus, and they go from acceptable relationship to a good will of God for their life. And those are the ones that usually get in church and, come in and worship and praise and get in their Bible and read their Bible, and they begin to walk and talk with God, and God at that point has an opportunity to get in and move and change things in them. And every time God changes something in you, your life gets easier. And every time God changes something in you, your life gets better. But then they stop there. And that's not the perfect will of God for them. That is not. God's perfect will. If that were so, Jesus never would have died on the cross. See, he had 12 disciples he followed. He went and said, hey, I want you to follow me because I want a great relationship with you. And they followed him. And so for 3 years, they walked and they talked and they laughed and they celebrated. And if relationship was all that God wanted out of your life, or the only potential you had in your life was to have a relationship with God, it's acceptable. I mean, you'll make it to heaven and God can accept that if you get saved and that's all you do. It's good. Your life gets good. And your life is good when you get that relationship with God. But that's not the perfect will of God for you. The perfect will of God, when the Bible says there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will, the perfect will of God is like the disciples. See, the disciples were there, and they built that relationship with Jesus, and he would have never had to die if that's all there was for you, just to have a personal relationship. He could have stayed there with them, and he could have died of old age instead of dying on the cross and had people have relationships with him. But see, he died on the cross. And what he told those disciples is what makes your life acceptable. I mean, perfect. And when it's perfect, then it comes to righteousness, peace, and joy. Your life will become so full of joy when you do this third thing. Every part of your life will make sense. Every part. When you do what he told the disciples. He had a relationship with them. He had died on the cross for them. They had been saved. But then he said this, now go and tell the entire world. Tell the entire world what I have done and what I can do for them. And so by us getting our life to a place where we can change the world, by introducing and telling about Jesus, that's the perfect will of God for your life. And wherever you get in life, if you can do that, you can be in God's perfect will. And when you're in God's perfect will, everything for you changes. There you get righteousness, then you walk in peace, and then that's when the joy of your life really unfolds and makes hope. So it says it's righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How do I get that righteous, peace, joy? You get in the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of the Lord. You're to live all three of them. Here, Joseph, we find, he said, I'm in this bad situation. I think I should do this, but I want the perfect will of God for my life. This makes sense. This could be the right thing, but I want the perfect will of God for my life. He was broken. He was hurt. The right feelings would have made her to lash out, do those things even, or just get away from her and separate itself. But that's not what he did. It says he sat and he thought about these things. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In other words, you're going to have your own understanding, but you got to understand there's a better way of doing it than what you can figure out. And it said this, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then the next part of the scripture says this, he will direct your paths. In other words, he will show you what to do and how to do it. If you just give him a chance, if you will acknowledge, what does acknowledgement mean? It means take enough time for God to intervene. Don't act until you hear God speak. Don't move till you know what God wants you to do. No matter how bad you're hurt, no matter how scared you are, no matter how broken it is, God is speaking. Because, see, God had already spoke to Joseph through Mary. He just couldn't hear it because the pain was so big or the problem was so great. But see, so he was smart enough and he knew God enough that he was going to trust God, that I think I ought to do this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to wait till I know for sure that this is what God wants me to do. And the Bible says that night when he went to sleep, to me, honestly, if I was in his situation, I usually don't sleep in those times. But see, he had enough trust in God that even though he thought he knew what he ought to do, this tells me this, he was able to rest knowing that God was not going to let him make a mistake if I just wait on God. And the Bible says he got in bed and he went to sleep because he had a dream. And it says when he awoke from his dream. So that means he had worked on his trusting, he had worked on his not leaning to his own understanding, and he had worked on acknowledging God. In other words, giving God time to move. If you're in one of them situations right now, you say, well, Cricket, I got to hear from God now. You wait. God will speak to you. Or you look at those that are around you that have spoken. And you see if God had used any of them. Here, I'm going to read these to you quick, and we'll go over them next week better. 7 tests to know it's God. See, he could have done this with Mary up front. He never would have had this problem. Of the fear, I mean, I say that. He did such a better job than I ever would have done. But this is what the Bible says. In Proverbs 14:12, it says this, what you think is right may lead to death, is what the Good News Bible says. Pull that one up for me, Joe, if you don't mind. It ain't got to be the Good News, but pull it up. Proverbs 14:12. It says, what you think is right maybe the road that leads to death. Let's see what it says here. The King James says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. See, Joseph's way here thought this was the right way. I ought to just do this. But it would have been the end of his story. None of us would be here talking about him. None of us would have known about him. He would have never got the chance to hold the Son of God in his hands. Can you imagine? What's amazing to me is this. For the first 12 years of Joseph's life, Joseph got to teach God stuff. But from 12 years old on, the Bible says Jesus was teaching adults things. But for the first, could you imagine teaching God how to walk, or teaching God how to talk, or teaching God how to build or use your hand? That's amazing. He never would have got them opportunities had he have acted on what he thought was right at first. The thing about it is, you got to understand, if you're in a hard time, you got to know your mind has the opportunity to work its thing and can lead you in the wrong way. So never trust yourself when you're going into a hard situation. You got to understand, only put your trust in God. And that you got to do that by leaning not to your own understanding. You may have a good idea, but you better just wait, hold off, and then give God a chance to do it. Here are the 7 things. Well, in John 4:1, it says this, don't believe everything you hear just because someone says it's a message from God. Test it first and see if it really is. Very important scripture. Just don't just believe everything someone says is from God, but test it first. See, this is what Joseph did. Mary told him what God said, but he didn't feel it, didn't think it. But the Bible says he waited. He thought about what he should do for a while. And it says, to test it first. So what are the tests? Here it goes. Here's the seven tests. We'll say them, and then we'll go into detail next week if we got time. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? We got several scriptures on that, but we won't get into that because of time. Does it agree with the Bible? If it does not agree with the Bible, Jesus does not contradict himself. God does not contradict himself. So if you're in a situation and you're thinking you know what to do, but you're not sure, you haven't heard from God yet, you need to put it across these two tests, because God's voice in your life will pass these seven every time. It won't pass just five. It will pass all seven. If it is God, and if you're in a situation, you need God. Don't just act yet. You need God. So next week we'll get into here and there, but you need to know whatever. If it's not God, don't act yet. If you don't know it's God, don't act yet. Joseph would have lost everything. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more like Christ? If it doesn't make you more like Christ, it's not God. God's whole goal, God's whole purpose every day is to make you more like Christ. And so if it won't make you like Christ, it's not going to be God. And we'll go into detail on that one next week too. Number three, do fellow mature believers confirm it? Because if fellow mature believers don't confirm it, then the Bible says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. Do the leaders in the church or the mature believers in the church, when you tell them that, do they say, you need to be careful with that? Or do they say, you know what, I believe God could really be speaking that to you? Because if that's not there, it don't pass the test. We'll get into the scriptures on that one next week. All right, number four. Is it constant on how God made you? What we mean by that is this. The Bible says God formed you in your mother's womb. God did not make me a football player. He didn't. I don't weigh 250 pounds. I'm not 6'3". So if God tells me, if I get this crazy thought that I'm going to be a professional football player and I put my family at risk and I put my finances at risk because I think it's God, it's not God. You say, well, Cricket, you might be that story of that basketball player that was real. No, that didn't work that way. It's not my size only. I can't catch a ball hardly. I'm saying if it's not constant with the way that God made you, it's not the voice of God in your life. He don't mess up. He didn't make you to do one thing and call you to do another. It says he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He formed you the perfect way. If you think you're going to be the greatest Christian recording artist and you cannot sing, that is not what God's telling you to do. Don't quit your job. Don't do it. You don't know how many times people have told me they're going to quit their job. They're going to do it. And they can't. I had a guy tell me one time he's going to quit his job and start his own contractor's business. And I've been to his house and there wasn't a straight single level thing in his house. And so you knew. He might get a couple contracts, but he was going to get sued on every one of them. So if it's not constant, all right, number five is if it doesn't concern your responsibilities. If it doesn't concern your responsibility, what does that mean is this. God's not going to call me to do something that's going to leave my wife and my children in the wake. The Bible says it's better. It says, what does it gain a man to gain the whole world, but yet to lose his own soul? All right, stop it right there on that first, lose his own. And then what is it? It's not God. If it goes against the spiritual responsibilities God has already given you. God is not calling me to put my family at risk. He's not doing it. You say, well, where's your faith? My faith's in the Word of God. You know, I'm not going to quit my job and do it, because the Bible says a man that doesn't work doesn't eat. And my responsibilities, my children, my wife have to eat. If it goes against your responsibilities, it's not God. All right, number six. If it's convict, you have to determine, is it convicting or is it condemning? When God speaks to you, it may convict, but it never condemns. Because the Bible says he didn't come to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. You can tell the difference between conviction and condemnation is this. Conviction comes before repentance. But once there is repentance, there is no conviction. The feeling that comes after repentance is condemnation, and it's not from God. So if you've got somebody, if you've got a thought or an impression in you, or something you think God is making you put your head down and walk around like you're the lowest person in the world, and you've already asked God to forgive you, or you asked God to help you and do that in that situation, and you still have that, then that's not the voice of God. That's condemnation. Because, see, the Holy Spirit convicts, but the reason why He convicts is to bring you to a point to repent. Once you repent, it's over. God's will had been done in that area. It's over. So if you're still hearing, you know, that condemnation, that's not God. It's that you got to pass the test. Number 7, does it bring me peace? Does it bring me peace? No one can answer this one but you when it comes to God. When you think about this, not saying that you might not be afraid or that you might not be nervous, but you can hear the voice of God in you, and it always brings peace, no matter how hard the storm is. And if you don't have peace about it, then you do what Joseph did. You wait. You wait. You say, why? What if I miss God? You can't miss God if you're waiting on God to speak to you. Now, you can miss God once you've heard God speak and you're waiting to act. You can miss God. But you can never miss God, because God, if He has to knock you off a horse and blind you and put you on a street called straight, make you go talk to a guy that you never met before, but you were actually coming to kill, and that guy pray for you and heal you, He will do that. To make sure, what I usually pray when I can't hear God speak is this: God, speak to me in a way that I see it or can hear it. I know You're speaking, but God, I need You maybe to get a little brighter with this one, and I'm not going to move till I do, because I've moved when I hadn't and I've messed up. But I'm not going to move till I do. So God, I ask You to speak to me in a way that I can see it or I can hear it. And then you wait. And if you'll wait, I'm telling you, put it past those 7 tests, your story will be as great as Joseph. Man, when you read it, it's scary to see how close he came to blowing it. That's pretty scary to me. He was just one night's sleep away from totally changing his history for his life. And I step back and think, how close have I been in my past? How close have I almost? And then God intervened. Then if you're willing to wait, God will intervene. Praise God. We're over. Anybody get anything out of it? To me, I was so excited studying that today about how do I get through that? Because I see, man, he was facing that stuff like I was facing that stuff. But he did it different than I've done it most of my life. He waited. He thought of ways and he waited. And he listened to ways and he waited. And the Bible says, God, have you ever realized that God spoke to Joseph different than he spoke to Moses? I mean, Mary. The same angel. It was the same angel. But the angel showed up to Mary in her room during the day when she was awake. That tells me this: she had a more keen awareness to hearing things from God than he did. That gives me hope, because it had to wait till he was asleep before the angel could get Joseph's attention. You cannot tell me that God wasn't trying to tell Joseph the same day he was telling Mary. But, you know, I picture it like this: Joseph walked to a room, angel was standing in the corner shouting his name, and he never even noticed him being there. And then he would go into the kitchen, and the angel would be like, "Hey, Joseph," and he just overlooked him, didn't recognize it, didn't hear it. And then, so finally, he got to bed. And when he went to bed, he got him in a way he couldn't miss it. I'm telling you, if you're willing to wait on God and not act on your emotions and your feelings, you will hear God. Even if he has to come to you in a dream, even if he has to have a donkey open his mouth and talk, even if he has to have a finger come and write it on the wall, even if he has to send prophets from all over the world to your house, knocking on your door, telling you what you did and what God's going to do. I mean, God will get to you if you are willing to do it his way. Trust in the Lord thoroughly, not to your understanding. All you wait on him, he will direct your path. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you're going to take it, you're going to use it. And God, I ask you to forgive me every time I've acted on my thoughts or my intuitions or my plans and my understanding. And God, I ask you to make me aware of when it's me and not you. And help me put it to the test, Lord. Your word says that I can test whether it's your voice, and you will pass the test. I ask you to fulfill and complete and show me what is you and what's not you. Because God, Your way is the way of life. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.